If you have your Bibles, would you open them, please, to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter number 24 this evening. A little bit different type message, maybe more of a Bible study, some preaching to it tonight, but Genesis 24. We started this year preaching through Genesis, different families and aspects of the family, single parents, married couples, kids, and so forth, and kind of got away from it. I want to get back to working on this. Our theme of the year, of course, is building and rebuilding. That would be our lives. That would be sometimes our lives after a tragedy. Now we're rebuilding after a valley. Things are not the same, so now we're rebuilders. And so looking down in Genesis 24, a very key chapter, and if you'll look, it's 67 verses. So just be encouraged. We're not reading all the verses tonight. And so the key character here is Abraham. And of course, Abraham, his name was Abram at the first. And Abraham is such a key because he's the one that he loved the Lord so much that God called him the friend of God. One person in the Bible, God said that about. He looked at Abraham and said, "That's my friend." Amen. So he had something that is worthy of imitation or our desires. And so Abraham, of course, is the one. He was a prayer warrior. He's the one that prayed for Lot, his nephew that strayed from the Lord. He interceded and begged God to spare his life. He's the one that when the three angels came to Sodom to destroy and burn up that wicked city, they stopped by Abraham's house first. And God said, "Should I hide this from my friend Abraham? I'm about to drop the first atom bomb on this city. Should I hide this? No, I'm going to tell Abraham." To me, that's amazing. That he would even stop by to talk to Abraham and say, "Let me tell you what I'm about to do." Because Jesus was one of those people. One of the three was Jesus in the story. And so what a great man. Just a great man. He's the one that he had the nephew Lot, and they weren't getting along. And he said, "Well, if you want to take the right, I'll take the left." He was a problem solver. He did not want friction to maintain in the relationship. He says, "Look, whatever direction you take, I'll take the other direction. We're good." And God said, "Because you did that, Abraham, I'm going to give you the north, the south, the east, and the west. I'm giving you all of it." Amen. And he said, "I'm going to let your children multiply like the sand of the sea. And I'm also going to let the Messiah, the Son of God, be born through your lineage." I mean, what a forecast of blessings. He said, "And all men shall call you blessed." No, I think that's a Virgin Mary. That's a different version. And he said, "Those that bless you, I will bless. And those that curse you, I will curse." So he ends up, you hear these names throughout the Bible. "I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob." And you hear that often. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. So three generations. So Abraham here, he's getting older, and he wants to make sure that the truth he has is passed on to the next generation and the next. Real important. So kind of an odd story here, but he's helping his son get the right mate. Amen. That's what this whole chapter's about. Now, real easy to say, "Pastor, I got dressed up to come to hear about some guy finding a mate for his..." Man, I don't even care about Abraham. I don't even like the guy. So how does that apply for us? If someone is single, there's a lot of things here for you. Amen. If someone has children or grandchildren, you're going to be given advice. Amen. If you were married, you're wanting to marry again, perhaps in the future... By the way, did y'all see the honeymooners at church today? Did you see them? What, a couple just married here today. Did you miss them?
Yeah.
You missed them?
Yeah.
For real? Who saw them? Who saw them? Anybody but me? Yeah? Just got married 5 months ago. He's 80, and I think she's about 78. Just found each other. And so the honeymooners, I told him, I said, y'all the honeymooners. And he just kind of smiled at me. His wife had passed and her husband had passed and they found each other. So no matter what age you're at, you'll either be given biblical advice from this passage. There's a lot to help us. So please don't just turn me off. Pastor, if you're talking about somebody getting married, that's not me. No, you're going to give advice. Yes. Heard about this girl, and someone asked her, they said, why did God made Adam first and then make Eve? And the little girl spoke up and said, well, that's easy. He made Adam and said, I can do better than this. Whoa. And then he made Eve. Deep. Here's a statistic for those of us that live here in Napa. We have there are more men in mental institutions than women. That's a fact. So it goes to let you know who's driving who in that direction. And so much for that. None of that's going very good. So let's just jump right in here to the passage. Well, one more. So this little boy, he sees this wedding at church and he says, Mama, he said, why is the bride dressed in this beautiful white dress? And the mother said, because she's so happy. Okay. Then a few minutes later, he said, well, why is the groom dressed in black? Okay. So you'll get that later. So, well, some of you still not with it here. So you're dating and you're wondering how to start this this talk. You kind of like someone and you're wondering, how do you break the ice? What do you say? Well, here you go. Here's pickup lines you want to be careful about. Is your name Grace? Because you're amazing. That's sad, huh? How about this one? You know, we're like 5 loaves and 2 fishes. God could do a miracle with us. Sad, huh? Girls, any guy that tries that on you, mark him off. How about this one? Are you tired? Because you've been running around in my head all night long. Oh, that's even worse, huh? Oh, brother. How about this one? I know why Solomon had so many wives. Because he never met you. Sad. Okay, so we're in Genesis 24, and... So we're talking about Abraham here. We're going to just look at this passage of Scripture, some real practical things. If you're just joining us, Abraham, the man called the friend of God, his son is old enough to be married. He's going to help him. So a lot of lessons here. I hope you'll kind of connect with this. So Genesis 24, notice what it says looking down in verse 1. And Abraham was old. How old was he? Probably your age. Some of you say, man, I just feel old. Well, he was. And well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites. I want to just give you several just statements here if you're writing anything down. Abraham enlisted some help when it came to finding a mate for his child. Amen. Amen. He got some help. Amen. I'm sure he asked the Lord to help him. By the way, the most important decision you will ever make outside of receiving Jesus Christ as Savior is who you will spend your life with, who you're going to marry. I mean, that trumps all the other decisions. Well, what about military? What about your job? The mate. They'll make you, they'll break you. What a huge decision. And I know at age 18, people can make that decision legally, or is it 21? You can get drunk when you're 21, but you can get married when you're 18. I don't know. But you can legally get married at that age. But does that mean at that age you're wise enough to make that decision? Come on, amen. Need to ask ourselves that. Abraham enlisted some help. Next, he did not allow his son to choose by himself. Amen. You know, years ago we had this saying of, son, won't you take the car? You're going to go on a date. A guy would take his girlfriend to a movie or out to get a hamburger and then bring her home. And it was a date. And somehow we let the kids just decide who they dated, who they married. They're old enough and they can figure it out, when really parents ought to be involved.
Amen. Amen.
Ought to be involved. You say, how come? Because the parents know their kid better than anybody else. They know their weaknesses, their strength. Somehow they ought to be involved. You say, Pastor, that sounds kind of old fat. I'm just saying involved, not prearranged, not parents picking your mate. I still remember when I was in junior high school, this girl at church liked me.
Amen.
You can understand why. But my mother would say, Mike, why don't you like this girl? And I would say, Mom, have you seen her up close? So the Bible's not talking about parents picking the mate. He's just saying they ought to be involved in the process.
Amen.
Okay? For instance, my dad was a little bit different when it came to spending money. He bought me two new cars when I was growing up, trying to make up for lost time. One when I was in high school, one when I was in college. He never let me have a vote on the car. One was this beautiful car, a Plymouth Scamp. You see them everywhere. Most people own them. A Plymouth Scamp. I think it was that they made like three copies. They said, this is ugly. And they never. So my dad said, here's this car. You know, I wish I'd have had a little vote in it.
Amen.
Then when I was up at college, it was a four-door yellow Plymouth Belvedere.
Whoa.
You know, the car you've always wanted. And so somehow my dad just said, I've decided, here it is. You know, it ought to be both involved, parents or leaders.
Amen.
And the person interested in marrying.
Amen.
What else? Look down, if you will, a little bit further. Abraham was very serious about the subject. Notice in verse 3, Genesis 24, 3, thou shalt not, he's telling the servant, go into this city and we're going to pray that you find the right mate for my son. He says, and not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites. So he knew what he didn't want. Abraham says, I know I don't want this type. I know I don't want this type. He knew what he didn't want.
Amen.
And parents, as we're raising kids or grandkids, it would be wise to speak up and say, this isn't what we want. This isn't what we want. They need to know what they ought to want in a future mate, what they ought to not want in a future mate. He said, we're not going to marry the heathen. We don't want our kid marrying someone that never goes to church and doesn't believe Jesus is the Son of God and doesn't believe in heaven. That's not what we're after.
Amen.
And so we see a little further here. He did not want a worldly mate for his child. Look down at verse 6. And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. He's talking about, don't you go in Canaan and bring back some worldly girl. Four chapters in Proverbs. Chapter 5, here's the wrong woman. Chapter 6, here's the wrong woman. Here's the wrong mate. Chapter 7, here's the wrong mate. Chapter 31, here's the right mate. Four chapters in Proverbs, God says, here's some qualifications to help you pick.
Amen.
We used to tell our girls when they were teenagers, when they first noticed boys, I think when they were 6, we would say, the girls, you can marry anybody you want to. We're going to corral these boys. Anyone interested in you, we're going to, if they meet our approval, we're going to kind of corral them into a corral. And you can marry anybody in the corral.
That's good. Amen.
And then we would say, right now, there's no one in your corral. One of our daughters took a picture and sent it to us in front of an empty corral. So we see a little bit further here. Look down in chapter number 7. Abraham's talking to his servant. Now, you're going to have to help me. I'm too old to go looking. And at this time, they didn't have dating sites. They had carrier pigeons. Find the right mate. They tied it to the... No, they didn't. But so he went looking. Verse 7. The Lord God of heaven which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. So what was Abraham doing? Number four, whatever, if you're writing this down, he trusted God to help him.
Amen.
He said, I'm just trusting that God's angel is going to go before you. He's going to help guide us and find the one who would be strong where you're weak and weak where you're strong. Find the perfect match.
Amen.
There's 7 billion people on earth. How easy to get the wrong one. We're going to have the Lord to find the right one.
Amen.
And then we see, looking down a little further, just a thought here. Well, look in verse number 15. Verse 15. And it says, and it came to pass before he had done speaking. So the servant goes. And the servant comes to this little town. There's a well and people are watering their sheep and they're pouring water out for their camels. And the servant prays and says, Lord, show me. Is it any of these people? Show me. Have someone offer to water my camels. You get this, 10 gallons per camel.
Wow.
How many buckets of water is that? All the way down the well, all the way up, 10 gallons per camel. And he had camels. Whoever it was may have taken out 30 buckets of water to water these camels. So it wouldn't have been incidental. It wouldn't have been by accident. And so he trusted that the Lord would help him. Let me just say this for just a second. The old world thinks different than God thinks.
Yes, he does. Yes, that's true.
The world thinks body, then spirit, who the person is. Excuse me, their soul, who they are, their personality, and then spirit last. God thinks connect spiritually first. And then emotionally, personality, attraction. Do you have any brains in your head? Do you have anything to say? Are you more than just a body? And then the body.
Yes, sir. Amen.
They get it all mixed up.
Amen.
Young people, listen to a pastor that's seen hundreds and hundreds and thousands of teenagers. You want to attract first to who that person is and their love for the Lord. And their love for God. Because if they'll love God, they'll love you. Because you may be beautiful now, or you may be handsome and strong now, but guess what? With years, you start deteriorating.
Yes,
and if all they love is you because you're pretty, when you get old and haggled, they're going to find somebody else.
Right, amen.
But if they fall in love with you because they love Him, they may just stay with you. Let's go a little further here. In verse 15, it says, and it came to pass before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother. It was some relatives, some distant relatives came out. She's getting ready to water the camels. So I want to say this. The more similar the background, the better. It doesn't mean you got to marry a third cousin or something. But the more similar the background, more similar education, more similar finances, more similar past, you'll have a whole lot more in common.
Amen.
Not saying a rich can't marry a poor, an educated cannot marry an uneducated, but I'm just saying, look, marriage is hard enough, period. You want to have as many things on the same page as possible to get through that thing.
Amen. Amen.
So we see also here, verse number 16, and the damsel was very fair to look upon. That meant he rated her excellent, nice, fair. No, fair means beautiful. So let me say this. It's not a lot of us handsome men still around. No. Whoever it is that God has for you will look beautiful or handsome to you.
Amen. Amen.
And that's all that matters.
Amen.
You're not in a contest against anybody else.
Amen.
And I want to say this to the ladies for a moment. If your esteem is low, where every time you walk into a room, you compare. Well, I ain't had a chance. I mean, compared to all these people. Look, I'm way at the bottom of the list. No, you got issues. And you need to solve those because God makes no junk. David, the little shepherd boy, said, I am wonderfully and beautifully made. God makes no trash. When he makes a human being, he dies for us. That gives us value. We're unique. God is the greatest portrait painter that there is. Every 4 inches by 6 inches, everyone's unique. Every one of us looks different. God did that. If he wanted you Filipino, he'd have painted you Filipino. If he wanted you this, he'd have, look, whoever you are, whatever the race, whatever the background, whatever the features, God says, that's how I wanted you.
Amen. Amen.
Now, before you're ever going to love somebody else, you're going to have to be able to look in the mirror and be okay with you. I don't know how many teenagers through the years I've heard them say, well, everybody knows I'm ugly. Well, who's everybody? That's not a true statement. Everybody in China knows you're ugly. Everybody in Puerto Rico knows you're ugly. They don't even know you, period. That's a lie. You need to just look in the mirror and say, God had a good day when he made me.
Amen.
Be okay with who you are.
Amen.
How God made you.
Amen.
Someone doesn't like you, it's okay. But there'll be someone attracted to you.
Amen.
In most cases, there'll be somebody. Going to have to trust.
Amen.
That means you might not be passing your phone number out to strangers on the street corner. Call me, call me, call me, call me. Means you may not be meeting strangers online, some dating service. Trust is, Lord, you got my phone number. Here I am. If you want me married, at what time, at what year, here I am. I yield to you.
Amen.
Then let's notice down a little bit further. So the girl's name was Rebecca, verse 18. And she said, drink, my Lord. She hasted, let down her pitcher upon her head, gave him drink. When she had done giving him drink, verse 19, she said, I'll draw water for thy camels also. Wow, what a woman. She had 22-inch biceps. Putting that bucket down, watering all those camels. I'd have paid somebody else. She hasted, emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. Rebecca had a servant spirit.
Amen. Amen.
She knew how to work.
Amen. Amen.
Ladies, you want to marry a man who has a work ethic.
Amen. Amen.
And there's different ways. There's a lot of different type jobs. There's desk jobs. There's computer jobs. There's construction type jobs. But if a man's going to have respect, he's got to learn to have a work ethic.
Amen.
He's got to be a hard worker. When my son Stephen was getting married, the pastor, Brother Wilkerson, was doing the wedding, and I think I walked Stephen down the aisle. I think that's what I did. But I was over here standing, and they asked me to say something, and I just started crying. I'm not usually that emotional at something like that. And they said, Pastor Ray has something to say. And I said, Stephen, my voice cracked. I couldn't get anything out, just tears coming down my face. And everyone's just kind of shocked and looking at me like, you know, this is a wedding. And I said, I'm sorry. I don't usually cry at Stephen's weddings. But one thing the pastor brought out, he said one thing his wife said she's always admired about Stephen, what he was a hard worker.
Amen.
A hard worker. Want some admiration? Work hard. Someone will admire you. Your children will admire you. Your friends will admire you. A mate will admire you. If you're a hard worker, people love that. They just love it. Here's a woman. She says, I'll water your camels. She had a servant spirit. You have to have that for a happy marriage.
Amen.
If you're the person you think, well, I got married so they could serve me. That's what marriage is about. You'll never have a happy marriage.
Right.
You're marrying to see how much you can serve them.
That's right, amen.
Can I do this for you? Can I do this for you? You're not a slave. Love is not a slave. Love is voluntary. I do these things because I love you. At the house this week, I saw a beautiful rose outside of our house, so I cut it, put it in a vase. I didn't have to do that. But my wife noticed it. I was serving. Since she's been in the hospital, I've done the dishes for a year. That's why I got these dishpan hands. I'm not getting old, they're dishpan hands. I've done the housework for a year. I vacuumed for a year. I didn't have to. I'm glad I get to. I'm glad she's around. I'm glad she didn't pass away and go to heaven. I'm thrilled to serve. When she gets in the car, I'll pull that seatbelt all the way out and I'll buckle it in for her. Why? It still hurts her abdomen since her surgery. I just want to serve. Honey, we're going on a walk today. Well, I don't really feel like it. I said, but you need it. Got to build that stamina up. Here we go. 2 miles. Let's go. I don't have time for that. I don't enjoy just walking around the neighborhood, but I'm trying to serve. And so here's Rebecca. She was a servant. Let's hasten. I hope my wife doesn't listen to this. She's in Indiana saying her Aunt Pat right now. Probably listen right now. I'm kidding, honey. Okay. Next, she was excited about God's plan. Look down in verse number 28. The servant says, I asked God to help someone water the camels if they're the right one for my master's son. She heard that, verse 28. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. She was excited about God's plan. I like that a lot. Young people, let me just say this. You ought to start getting excited about God's plan. God has a big plan for your life. Amen. It could be the mission field. It could be just building a secular business that you make a lot of money and buy church buses and send money to missionaries, give to projects.
Amen.
It could be and probably is marriage in the future. Whether you're still living in California, you get married on this platform, just think, you're sitting feet away from where you may say, I do. Whoa. It's pretty exciting. Look, guys are rubbing tears from their eyes right now. I hope not. Then let's look a little bit further here. Look in same chapter, verse 50. So they run in and tell her parents. She runs in and says, this servant came to pour water for the camels and he says that he thinks ought to marry his master's son. He's rich. In Genesis 24 and verse number 50. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. She rushes in, tells the family all about it. They said, it looks like God's in this. That's what her parents said. Young people, give your parents and people that love you veto power.
Yes.
Give them some veto power. Why? Because they love you. They want you happy a long time.
Yes.
Not just on the wedding day.
Amen.
What do you think? Get some opinions. What do you think about this girl? What do you think about this guy? Watch them. What do you know about them? What do you know about them? You know what are they like? Is there any issues? Are they up, down? Are they moody? What? Who is this package?
Amen.
We're always going to be in trouble when we disconnect parents and people that love us and make these big decisions.
Yes.
I will decide.
Amen.
I'm 18. I will decide who I marry and it will be fine. I'm pretty wise.
Amen.
I read the cover of Brother Cavanaugh's marriage book. Then we see a little bit further here in verse number 53. I love this. You marry the whole family. Remember when I got married? Get this. The timing was so different back then. No cell phones. We wrote letters, put the stamp upside down, sprayed perfume on the envelope. She had sprayed perfume on the envelope. I didn't do the perfume, but the aftershave or whatever. I got off the plane to get married the next day. That's when I met her parents. I met them the day before. Her brother said, "Is this him?" "Yep, that's him." "Okay. If you think so." Yeah, that was about the greeting I got at the airport. "That's him, he is." That Maine accent. I couldn't leave. I had a round trip ticket. I couldn't leave. I mean, I was there. I was committed. The next day we decorated and I got married. You know, probably both sets of parents should have been involved. They wouldn't have picked me out of a crowd. They didn't know me at all. My parents only saw a picture of her. They said, "You want $1,000 or you want us to come to the wedding?" I said, "I'll take the $1,000. But we know better than that now. My parents went on a blind date. 3 weeks later, they got married. My dad called my mom before they were married. He said, "I'll pick you up at such and such time. We'll go to the courthouse, get married." Okay. My mom was late getting ready. Dad hit the horn, peeled out, and left. Since she was late, he wasn't going to marry her. He hadn't read that verse. Love is patient. Love. I didn't think he owned a Bible. About 30 minutes later, he thought it through, came back and said, "I'm sorry." What a way to start a marriage. You marry their whole family. You get the mom as the mother-in-law. You get the dad as the father-in-law. You get the siblings as the relatives. Their parents will be grandparents to your kids. Marriage is not, "I got them, that's all I want." No. Because they're all coming with you. Sometimes they move in your house with you. I could call the man's name. He's real close to his mother. When he got married, his mother asked if she could come on the honeymoon with them. He let her. She had the motel room in the same complex, went on all the trips and all the meals on the honeymoon with them. The Bible says you are to leave so you can cleave. Okay, it's real quiet here. You're saying, "How'd you know about our family?" It probably doesn't hurt single ladies to have either a leader or someone you respect, or your dad if he's alive. Run them by dad. "Hey, how about giving me your phone number and let's go out on a date?" "Wow, that'd be cool." "You'll have to ask my dad."
Amen.
Well, what's that do? It scares all the wolves away. Those who have ulterior motives, they don't want to go through dad.
Amen.
Brother Cavanaugh used to say, "Yeah, send them to me." And then he'd say to the guys, "You know how many guns I own?" Sometimes they never would ask the girl out after that. Little kid came up to his grandpa one day and he said, "Grandpa, can you make a sound like a frog?" He said, "What? Why do you want me to do that?" "Because my family said we're all going to Hawaii when you croak." You marry the whole family. We got to come down to a landing point here. You say, "Pastor, is this what I get on a Sunday night?" We'll wrap it up.
Good.
Look down at verse 61. Look at this. So the family asks, Well, verse 57. Verse 57. Look, so it wasn't prearranged. And they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth." And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go?" You want to go with this guy? And she said, "I will go." Verse 60, and they blessed Rebekah, said unto her, "Thou art our sister, be the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." A woman ought to know how to follow. He's going to lead? Sure, I'll go. And again, that never means the woman is inferior physically, emotionally, spiritually, or mentally. In a government, in a marriage, in a relationship, someone has to be the leader. Someone has to be the follower. Amen. There's no such thing as a 50-50 marriage. Amen. A wise husband will have lots of talks and draw opinions and perspective out of his wife. But ultimately, he's got to make the final decision. And if it's wrong, he'll bear the brunt of it.
Amen.
But a wife's got to know how to follow. No woman that leads the home is ever a real happy woman, because they're taking on a lot of pressure that shouldn't have to be theirs.
Yeah, it's true, though. Amen.
Woman ought to know how to follow. The man ought to be able to lead. Leader means lead her.
Amen.
Lead her. Someone said, if a man is leading and no one's following, he's just taking a walk. You can't make a wife follow, but there ought to be something in her that says, I will follow you to the ends of the world.
Amen.
When my wife and I married, we married in Maine. Then we moved to Louisiana to be in ministry. She left everyone she knew to move to Louisiana. She followed me.
Amen.
Then when we moved here, she left everyone she knew to move here, because she was following me. It's a lot of trust.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
A lot of trust. Well, I don't think I could follow a man. Well, don't marry one.
Yes, amen.
Woman told me one time, she said, "I've never met the man that I could follow." I said, "Good. Make us all happy. Please don't get married." She was not happy with that statement. So what was the whole relationship here? And I know this is so different. If you're visiting, come back on a normal Sunday. So what was this whole relationship built on? Here it is. Trust.
Amen.
Okay, now think for a second. Okay? Here's this woman. This wild man shows up she's never met. "Hey, I work for this guy that's rich, and he's handsome, and he's got power, and he needs a godly wife. Would you marry him?" She has no picture. She has never even met the guy. But this guy starts giving her gifts and gold and silver and bracelets and necklaces and all these clothes. Kind of sounds like God, doesn't it?
Amen.
God the Father says, "I've got a son that needs a bride. I've got a son that loves me and I love, and he's so wealthy and rich. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords."
Amen.
"And there's got to be someone that's going to fall in love with him. And I'm going to give the servant, Holy Spirit, all these gifts to show how great Jesus is. And then by faith, we get to choose. We want to fall in love with him or not."
That's good, preacher. Amen.
And there she is. She gets on the camel. Never seen him. Is he tall? Is he short? Does he have a long beard? Is he gray-headed? Is he black-headed? Didn't really matter. She loved him at a distance, just like us. We've never seen him.
Amen.
But we fall in love with him because of the words and the gifts from the Holy Spirit in people that have told us all about him. So she's on the camel. Can you imagine? Later on in the scripture, it says that Isaac is praying in the field. If I was him, I'd have been praying, "I hope that servant has good eyesight." I'd have made sure me and that servant were on good terms before he left to pick me a wife. Hey, you give me a hard time, let me show you who I'm bringing you. He's out in the field, the Bible says, praying. He was a spiritual man. By the way, that's number one. The right mate, it ought to be someone that has a walk with the Lord, an unseen glow on their face. They love God with all of their heart. They're in church. They're faithful. They're a witness. They're not in the world. They're done with the world. They've fallen in love with Jesus, the world behind me, the cross before me. Amen. And the Bible says, at a distance, she sees Isaac. And it says she lights off her camel. Only cigarette commercial in the whole Bible. She lights off that camel. She asks the servant, who is this? It's your husband. Don't you recognize your husband? She puts on her veil. They marry, have children, the Jewish race, and so forth. A beautiful symbol of our relationship with the Lord. Let me encourage you, as a church, we're for godly marriages. I'm not good at matchmaking, but God is.
Yes, amen.
Let's encourage people to wait on Him. When the right couples find the right couples, they'll know. Single people, go into it with the blessing of mom and dad. Go into it with the blessing of people that care about you, saying, what a great match. This is a wonderful match. This is great. Oh, we're so happy for you. Not, are you kidding?
Amen, preacher.
You'll be glad. Genesis 24, a little bit different tonight. Thanks for being here. If you're listening online and you've never been saved, there's someone that wants you to go to heaven with him.
Amen.
He's on a journey, trying to brag on heaven, and brag on his son, and give you his gifts. But it's your decision, just like it was Rebecca's decision.